Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Thank you, Pastor Mel. Please take your seats. Thank you for standing. Appreciate it. Just firstly, before I start, I want to thank Mark and Mel just for the opportunity to be able to preach here this morning. It's not a competition, but if it was, we'd win with the best campus pastors. They're not going to like me saying this, but at conference, they were the last two to leave the conference. So they were the last two picking up the rubbish, doing the things. And there's that sort of servant heart that I believe is just carrying this campus forward, strength to strength. Like, that never stopped. You guys are truly incredible. They don't like getting too much shine, but they deserve it. They are really incredible. Now, just before I start my message, I just felt to share this, just while we were singing that one of the songs, I just felt to share from Romans 8. And someone needs to hear this morning. And it says in Romans 8, verse 27 to 28, it says, "And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose." And I just felt to share this really quickly. Is someone here, I'm not sure, maybe multiple people feel like there's so much going wrong in their lives at the moment. But the way to get through it is just to hold on to God and just to love God, because what the enemy meant for evil, he turns for good. And that verse just kept playing in my mind. So come on, why don't you give God a hand? He's going to do something incredible this morning. All right, I'm excited. So, like Pastor Miles, if those of you who don't know me, my name is Nick. My wife, Tin Louise. It's a photo. It's coming up soon. There it is. That's my son, Ethan, and my daughter, Zara. And yeah, we do run a Connect group here, and it's our family can't do church without community. It's such an incredible experience for us. We get so much out of Connect. You know, some days it's hard to get the house ready, to get people to get ready for, make food. My wife's got to make the food because I really can't. And I've got to prepare, and it's been a long week. But every time, without fail, when we finish the night, we're like, oh, that was incredible. There's just something about people coming together, sharing a meal, loving on each other, just talking about Jesus, does something incredible. So we really cherish the community we found, like a family we found here in Port Kennedy. So this morning, why don't we start by reading from the Old Testament, the Word of God, 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 and 38, and then we'll pray and we'll get into the message. "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.' David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear, he took the lamb and took a lamb from his flock. I went after him and struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And if it arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Let's just pray. God, with this morning, we just ask you that your Spirit would be in this place. We truly pray, God, that you would open the hearts and minds of everyone hearing your word, God. That everything that is from you that is good would fall in good soil, would grow us, Father. That we would step into a wholeness, in this wholeness journey that we're all on, God, that you would come and do something incredible this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your life-giving word. Thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, I know what you're probably thinking. Not another David and Goliath sermon. I get it. All right, I get it. But when Pastor Miller asked me to preach on a wholeness, it was a few months ago, I started thinking, oh, I don't know what I'll do. I'll talk about this, and I could probably put this in there, and this is going to work really well. And then Pastor Darlene preached at conference, and everything she did was incredible. So I'm like, okay. God started talking to me in my heart about David and Goliath, and I started realizing something in the text when God started unlocking something in my heart, and I've previously overlooked it, and I'd love to share this with you this morning. So for those of you who are taking notes, I've titled my sermon, "The Scars That Qualify You." So let me explain. Most of us have heard the story of David and Goliath countless times. But today, there's something that I feel compelled to just to share, something on the side. But let me begin with a detour. Now, we all know that there's two types of people in this world. You're either a dog person or a cat person. All right? Yeah. I see there's a few people here that know what I'm talking about. Now, I know that I'm part of the better group. I love dogs. Yes, there we go. I've hit a nerve. I'm not crazy about cats. But have you ever seen people play with their cats? I haven't, because I'm actually very allergic to cats. Probably one of the reasons why I don't like cats. But I've seen people come in and they've played with their cats, and on their arms they've got deep scars, right? Because they've got these claws that just claw, and they've got these teeth that gnaw, horrible things. No, I'm kidding, sorry. Sorry, I've got to stop now. But I've seen it, and I've seen what they can do. And so this got me thinking, that you know that David Attenborough documentaries on TV, where you see a lion chase a gazelle across the plains of Africa. And and you can see this lion running, and he paws this gazelle, and his nails sort of get into the bum, and he sort of pulls him close, and he controls that gazelle, because their nails are formed that way to hook. Same with a cat. But and then he pulls it in and he delivers the final blow. And so this image got me thinking about David. See, when he tells King Saul that he's killed the lion and the bear, though I don't know about you, but if a young man told me that he's killed two killing machines, I'd be rather skeptical. But Saul doesn't seem to question him that much. I imagine David standing there in front of King Saul saying, yep, I've killed the lion and I've killed the bear. And in my mind, I think David pointed to scars on his body. Because logically, if I think about a cat and how cats play, and I think about a lion and how the lion grabs his prey, we often think that David got away from the battles completely unscathed. Yeah. But I think it's quite unlikely. Yeah. Let's say that the lion didn't touch him at all. He killed the lion without, miraculously, didn't touch him. There's no scars on his body. But have you ever seen a full-grown bear? I mean, it's frightening, right? Like, a moose is about this tall when it walks, and I've seen a bear smack a moose's back and break it in half, and the moose is dead right there. I mean, it's got these massive paws, great big teeth, and it's got such a big weight advantage. But so David killed both of them. But again, I doubt that he got away with any scars. See, as I was praying and reflecting on the sermon of David and Goliath, something struck me. The battles David fought as a young man weren't just about survival or saving the sheep. They're about preparation. His scars weren't merely signs of past wounds. They were evidence of growth, markers of lessons learnt, and proof of pain endured. And those very scars were the scars that qualified David to fight Goliath. So I don't know about you, but I've got some scars from past battles fought. Some battles I've not quite won yet. Some I've won. Some of my scars are healed. Some are just about there. And unfortunately, there's some that's still festering under the surface. But this is the beauty of our wholeness journey with God, is he can take all these things and he can heal it. So acknowledging, if you're like me, that you've got some scars in your life from past battles fought, my first point on this journey of wholeness is keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. So when we look at the story of David, David didn't stop after he killed the lion. He didn't set up camp next to the carcass of the lion, reveling in his victory. And just last week, my boss came back from Sydney, and he was helping his daughter. So their house was completely flooded with those floods in New South Wales. So he's dealing with insurances and building companies, and it's actually quite terrible. But he was telling me that as he was driving on the roads, he saw all these bloated cows dead next to the road because they too were caught in the floodwaters. And almost at the same time, we both said, oh, they better burn those cows because disease is going to spread fairly soon. Yeah, wow. And this is my point, that if we win battles in our lives and fail to move forward from them, we end up surrounded by the stench of decay. Yeah. Wow. See, sometimes God brings us victory in areas in our lives, and it's going well for a month or maybe two, maybe a year. You're like, yes, I've overcome this. And then something bad happens. and we're right back at the starting point. Almost, we're worse off than we were before. So why does this happen? Sometimes I wonder if it's not because when we sit by that battle, by that giant that we've slain, we go, look at what I've done. Look how good I am. I've overcome it. Come on. And that battle we fought, that thing that we've overcome becomes an idol in our lives. We haven't actually dealt with it, but it becomes an idol. Or, perhaps if you're like me, you think you've arrived. I have arrived. I don't need to grow anymore because if you ask my wife, she'll tell you I'm perfect. Whoa, that's a bit of an overreaction there, guys. Sheesh. So instead of moving forward to what God has for next, what the next thing God has for us, we stay. See, Sigmund Freud, the father of modern day psychology, believed that what we do, Sigmund Freud, the father of psychology, believed that why we do things is rooted in our past. And I agree. What we go through does shape how we act in future. But as Christians, we believe in something more. See, God can heal us from our past when we deal with the pain and choose to move forward. And we need to believe this today. Now, I'm no psychologist, but I've seen what God can do to those who are willing to deal with their pain and walk forward. I've seen what God can do when someone says, you know what, I didn't have a father growing up, and that really sucked, and it's terrible. But I'm not going to let that define me. I've heard when they say, I'm a child of the Most High God, and not having a dad, not having a bad past will not define me because God says something better about me. See, we focus so much on what went wrong in our past that sometimes we don't even attempt to kill the lion one in front of us. Wow. We just accept our fate and go, well, this is who I am. Yeah. I'm just talking to myself this morning. No. See, but I tend to believe the Bible when it says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Or even in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, when it says, one of my first favorite verses, because I've seen this firsthand happen, so I get so excited when I can share about it, is, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. So we can all agree, like Freud, that our past can shape our future. But this morning I'll tell you, when God shapes our future, it's very different than we can ever think or imagine. Once you kill the lion in your own life and you allow God to heal your wounds, we're ready to face the bear. Once you kill the bear and you heal the wounds, we might just be ready to face Goliath. See, every scar that is healed by God becomes a lesson for the next giant. And every time you overcome a giant, God can trust us with more. And the scars you carry becomes the scars that qualify you for the next. So let's talk about some of these preparation scars this morning. I want to unpack something this morning that we often assume that David was the main beneficiary from killing the giants in his life. So he was the one that took down the lion, and he was the one who killed the bear. But I would argue he wasn't the main guy benefiting from his victories. And that leads me to my next point, is the victory is not just yours. See, in David's triumph over the sheep, I would argue it's the sheep that benefited most from his victories. Otherwise, we would have called them lamb chops and not sheep. It was the Israelite army and the people of God who benefited most when David killed Goliath. Think about this. If the Philistines won that day, the Israel army would have been destroyed. People would have been taken as slaves, families slaughtered and families torn apart, women and children taken away. But David stepped into the situation. So your victory over anger, for instance, you are not going to be the one that benefits most from it. It'll be your children. It'll be your wife. And yes, ladies, it'll be your husband sometimes. And this victory that we overcome can be used to help others in the future. I'm going to say something controversial here, but I hope you'll bear with me. I'd go so far to say that Goliath wasn't really David's battle. Just think about that for a second. Goliath wasn't David's battle. And I want to read from 1 Samuel 17, 1 to 3. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. They pitched their camp at Ephes-Damon and between Succoth and Issachar. Saul and the Israelites assembled camp in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them." So unless I'm reading this wrong, the Israelites drew up their what? Their battle lines. Now, if I'm a king of the nation of Israel, I'm not going to go across halfway across my kingdom, draw battle lines to go and knit a sweater. Right? I'm going to go there to fight. And so when David turns up to the battle, he sees the armies ready to fight, but they're frozen in fear. Frozen with fear. Isn't this us so often? I know it's me. See, I get up in the morning and I get ready, you know, give myself a pep talk. I suit up, I pray up, I'm ready. And I say, today is the day I'm going to overcome it. And you can put your it in there, whatever it might be. I'm going to overcome pornography. I'm going to overcome anger. I'm going to overcome addiction. But just for this morning, while we're talking on holiness, I want to go a little bit deeper. I don't just want to look at the fruit, but I want to look at the root. Because if we deal with the roots in our lives, the fruits will come, right? We get up in the morning and say, I'm going to defeat the extreme fear of failure this morning. Because maybe your parents never told you that you are worth more than what you believe about yourself. Maybe they were never encouraging, and that fear of failure, that fear of failing and not having your parents' affection or gratification or you can do it, is a thing that holds you back. Or perhaps it's that terrible voice that tells you you're just not good enough. That self-talk that says you're so pathetic. Or maybe it's that voice that always says, why does it happen to me? Why me? Why all the bad things always happened to me? Am I right? And then we go to bed at night and that same giant is still standing there laughing at us because we've just not been able to move forward. Here's the crux of it all. It's time to stand together. It's time to stand together and help each other overcome. See, God has given us the Holy Spirit to comfort, to teach, to convict. And He's given us the church body to stand together and unite and support each other. See, think of David. He was sent there to deliver food for his brothers. His main instruction, take care of your family. That was his main instruction. But when he looked around and saw Goliath standing there defying God's people, again, I've got a big imagination. I imagine he said, hey, hold my sandwich. I'll sort this out. David knew the same God who had saved him in the past would now use him to save others. And he wasn't afraid to act. When we move from one carcass to another, when we are victorious over areas in our lives that we've been struggling with, those become the weapons to help others. They are the scars that qualify us for the battles, for their battles. Look around you right now here in this room. There are people in this church right now, maybe sitting next to you, struggling with the same battle that you have already fought and overcome. Excuse me. God has given you grace and strength to do something incredible and defeat your giant. You've moved forward and you see your brother or sister standing there with their battle lines drawn, but they just cannot take that step. They're just so frozen with fear, and your healed wounds now might just be the thing that helps them overcome. These qualifying scars now become encouraging scars for others. You can say, look, I've destroyed my Goliath. Look, I've done it. I've fought this lion and won. And this is how I did it. In my own life, I will always be thankful for beautiful men and women when I was a young man. See, I didn't know what it looked like to be a man of God. I didn't know what it looked like to lead a godly marriage. I didn't know how to live a life that was God-honoring. I was a super insecure and immature 21-year-old, and I was now married and had a wife. But God placed incredible people around us, men and women who took time out of their days. They didn't just say, sorry, I'm just here for my kids. Sorry, I don't have time now. It's just my family. But like David, they said, hey, come into our house. Watch what we do. Look how we live. And in doing that, they instilled this giant killing sort of resolve in our hearts to be able to do that for others. See, like David, those people didn't say, sorry, we're too busy. If they saw something that needed refining in our lives, we'll take us out for coffee. Yeah. And they say, we need that. Not great. Maybe work on this a little bit. You need a bit of refining here. Don't talk to your wife like that. That's not the right way of doing it. Don't do that thing. It's not right. It's not a thing that a man of God does. My wife was pretty perfect, so I didn't really talk to her too much. They saw two scared 21-year-olds standing in front of their giants, and they didn't walk away. We needed to do a few things for this to happen. We needed to put ourselves in a place where we were obedient to the call of God in our lives. This, however, requires a few things that's not so nice. It's the big V word. We need to be willing to be vulnerable and allow others into our lives. We need to be willing to allow people that we trust to tell us things, not just what we want to hear, but really what we need to hear. See, the willingness to change little by little, like Pastor Mel preached on last week so beautifully, no matter what the cost, is what we need. We need an urgency to allow scars to be healed so it can qualify us to help others. And this brings me to my next point. Slide number 3. Give me just one more. Christians healed and restored by Christ. I firmly believe that this needs to be our prayer. The movie Hacksaw Ridge sees a private, you might have seen it. It's a great movie, based on a true story. Sees Private Desmond Doss wanting to join World War II, but his religion stopped him from killing anyone. So he joined the war and said, I'm not going to carry a rifle. He doesn't want to kill anyone, doesn't want to learn how to shoot, he's not going to touch a rifle. And he went through some incredible hardships to just be accepted into be able to serve in the army. And the climax of the whole thing, of the whole movie, is after they attack this ridge, Hacksaw Ridge, the American troops were pushed backwards. They retreated. They all went down the hill again, leaving hundreds of injured and dead soldiers just scattered all across this ridge. There's only one man up there, one able-bodied man helping, ready to save, and this is Private Doss. And we see him running to and fro, so scared, sweating, tired. And he'd run out where the enemies were and grab one person and run back to the end of it and drag him back to the ridge, tie a rope around him and drop him down off the cliff. And then they'll say, God, just give me one more. Before he heads back out, he looks up, tears in his eyes. I mean, the guys, Mel Gibson directed it, but he did an incredible job. He said, God, just give me one more. And then run towards the enemy and looking for one more soul. He saved 80 people that day. Just him by himself. Just because he said, God, just give me one more. See, our wholeness journey, and I truly believe this, our wholeness journey will only really be outlived to its full when we take the focus off ourselves and onto others. This is the call of God and the ultimate test to see if we are truly healed. Your wholeness journey was never meant just for you. Your scars that qualify you will help others in need. Our wholeness journey will compel us to have a greater urgency to see the people of God healed and restored and step into more. I mean, this is the ultimate call of God, is to see people come into the church, people who are lost, that don't know Jesus, people who are at the end of their tether, people that say, I can't carry on. Come into the church. Let's get healed. And then go. This is the call of God, right? Make disciples. Reach the lost. It's our church's mandate that we do this. And the cycle continues over and over again. You come in broken. You leave whole. Now, I'm not saying that we're ever going to arrive. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that if you come to Christ, you're never going to have hardships. You're never going to have those voices in your head saying you're not good enough. I'm not saying you're not going to have that. But what I am saying is that you'll have an answer for that voice when he does say that. When that horrible voice of insignificance comes and tells you, what do you think you're doing? Like this morning, I'm like, this voice like, what are you doing? You can't preach on stage. Who are you? Like, you're this kid from the wrong side of the tracks in South Africa. Like, what do you know? You know? And I had this doubt, like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't be up here. But see, God's done an incredible work in my life. And I could say no, but you know what? God qualified me because he bought me with a price. And I'm nothing special. I'm just here saying, God, use me. And just give us one more, God. Just give us one more, Jesus. So that one can maybe turn into 10 more. That's the desire of our hearts this morning. If we come on this journey with Jesus and we allow him to heal us, this is urgency in our hearts to say, I can't just sit in church another day, Lord, and just come to church and be a tick in the box and it's finished. I can't, God. Because I was in tears this morning. Just so thankful for what God's done in my life. And I know that God can do that. I don't do this for any other reason out of thankfulness for God. We don't run a connect group for any other reason but out of thankfulness for what God has done in our lives. And we know that he can do it in others. We've seen it. I've seen that verse I shared in Ezekiel where God takes out the heart of stone and gives the heart of flesh. One of my mates, when I just out of high school, he was the hardest man I've ever met in my life. He hardly ever smiled. He was so emotionally constipated, it's not even funny. That was funny, but it wasn't funny. But God did a work in his life. And that verse was his verse. His God will take out the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I've seen it happen, and I know that God wants to do something here this morning for people that's been struggling.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.